NIT tournament. We'll have that right here for you. And more coverage of sports coming up with Marquette and plenty more. We'll join you next Monday for more Playmakers, which is brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has unveiled his budget plan. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the story.
The president's budget includes a number of ideas that failed to advance when Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, including hundreds of billions of dollars for child and elder care and universal preschool. To pay for it all, Mr. Biden would raise the corporate tax rate, impose a new wealth tax on America's richest families, and increase rates on married couples earning over $450,000 a year. The budget allows the president to contrast his plans with Republicans.
They want to cut tax for the wealthy and large corporations.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calls the Biden budget completely unserious. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is proposing her own reforms to big budget federal programs.
I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington.
We need to fix it.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley told an Iowa crowd she'd support reforms to Social Security and Medicare.
So the first thing you do is you change the retirement age of the young people coming up, so that we can try and have some sort of system for them.
Haley says those benefits should also be limited for the rich.
Democrats are supporting raising taxes on the wealthy. The CEO of Norfolk Southern was on Capitol Hill today testifying about that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
Alan Shaw apologized, saying he is deeply sorry.
We have been cooperating fully with the NTSB's investigation.
The CEO said so far there is no indication that those on board the train did anything wrong.
The preliminary report found that the Norfolk Southern crew was operating the train below the speed limit and in an approved manner.
But he said it's clear the safety mechanisms in place were not enough. He promised improvements.
I'm going to make sure they've got the right training and the right technology.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman with that report. Well wishes pouring in as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recovers at a Washington, D.C. hospital. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
A spokesperson for the Kentucky Republican says he tripped at a local hotel during a private dinner. He has been admitted to the hospital where he is receiving treatment.
The 81-year-old Republican leader suffered a concussion. A massive Russian missile barrage rained down on sections of Ukraine last night. CBS's MTS Taib is in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro.
The far west of the country, Lviv, which has largely been spared the kind of devastation we've seen in the east of the country. You see homes reduced to rubble. You see people having lost their lives, lying in their beds.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson with the agency's top priority.
NASA is laser-focused on Mars.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, I'm just soft on the potty. Let's just muscle, roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. The crib is always stocked. It's our potty.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Hi, this is Drew Barrymore. Do you know what my idea of the perfect night is? First, make a bunch of complicated plans, and then cancel all those plans. Instead, spend the night streaming movies and TV shows on Pluto TV for free, including my show. There are tons of live channels and even more on demand. Free to stream all you want on Pluto TV and never pay a thing. Stream now, pay never. Pluto TV.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, March 14th. The Central Wisconsin Joint Airport Board meeting will take place at 8 a.m. at the East Terminal upper level in Conference Room B. In Portage County, the Highway Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Stevens Point Downtown Business Improvement District Board meeting will begin at 4:15 p.m. in the City Conference Room on Strong's Avenue. The Village of Whiting will hold their board meeting at 7 p.m. In Adams County, the Special Administrative and Finance meeting will take place from 3 to 4 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse in Room A231. The Solid Waste Committee meeting will be from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Courthouse in Boardroom A230. The Village of Buren has their Board of Trustees meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Municipal Center. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of flurries this afternoon, otherwise overcast. High of 29, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 3 above, tonight mainly clear. Mainly clear skies again, tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 32. Much warmer Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-40s. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 24.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
It is Monday, March 13th. The sun is out, but snow is certainly on the ground. I know I was a little bit further north than Milwaukee this weekend, and it snowed all day yesterday. I don't think a lot of it stuck, but Jane Nair, did it snow over by you?
We got some. It certainly wasn't an all-day real heavy, you know, things. It stuck overnight. It stuck overnight. I think we got about an inch overnight. But like
you
said,
did you have to shovel this morning?
I did not have time to shovel. So my husband will get to do that when he gets home.
Oh, isn't that what husbands are good for?
That must be. Yes, of course. It's one of the many, many wonderful husband things.
Sure. We'll go with that. Sure. All right. Well, good show today. I'm excited about both of our guests in the noon hour. We are going to be welcoming Eileen Newcomer, who is the voter education manager at the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And they are trying a new tactic because, you know, that's an organization that's been around for 100 years, have always prided themselves on being nonpartisan.
Yep.
And a major point of their work is getting information to voters, especially information about candidates. But as of the last handful of years, Republicans are less interested in showing up at League of Women Voters forums, answering where their stance is on issues. And so they are trying a new tactic. So Eileen will be here to talk about that, how that's working, and also just kind of going into 3 weeks till the election.
Yep.
What you need to know, when early voting starts for most parts of the state, dates, all of that. So that will be at noon today. Then at 12:30, my brother's going to be back. My brother, the 20-year Wall Street veteran, is going to try to explain to us what the hell happened with Silicon Valley Bank.
And it happened really quickly, too.
Like, it went from this was such a niche banking operation that serviced one specific type of company that those of us in the Midwest probably don't think about a whole ton. And then over the weekend, people starting to freak out about what this means for the entire banking industry. So he's going to be here to explain how that bank got to the place it was in, what happened over the weekend, that it sounds like everyone can breathe now. But I think in general, you know, the responsibility of governments versus accountability and all of that. So that's going to be at 12:30. And then in the no sour, haha, fun time power hour, it's daylight savings. And I don't know if we're all dragging a little slower this morning, but we did lose an hour yesterday. So maybe a little bit of an update on where we are in the debate of should we just stay at one time zone all year round?
And there are differing medical opinions on which is the best way to go. Not all medical experts say switching to permanent daylight savings time is a really good thing to do.
Do most medical experts say that we should pick one or the other, though?
That I'm not sure of, but I do know, again, as far as going to permanent daylight savings time, I don't think there's quite as much support from within the medical community, because we're screwing with our circadian rhythms, our natural circadian rhythms.
Well, we'll get into it then, because I feel like that is, and if you have thoughts on which one, if either, or if this is still the best way, we will have that debate at 1 o'clock today. And then we'll round out the show, obviously, with our Oscar takes, because I thought it was pretty good Oscars.
I did too. And I have to tell you, I haven't been genuinely amused by the Oscars in a long time. And I thought last night's show was the best one they've had in years.
I thought so too. I mean, we'll get into it at 1:30, but I was pleasantly entertained. I would say almost we missed like the first 15 minutes, but then pretty much the whole time I thought it was very fun.
It
so
was.
We will get into that at 1:30, but for the ticked off tee off for the newsy hour, we have three different stories, none of which come from Wisconsin, all of which to me feel pretty backwards. And so two out of the three have to do with birth control and family planning.
Mm-hmm.
And then one has to do with just straight up hypocrisy. So let's start with, I'm hesitant to call it the scariest one, but maybe not out of bounds by calling it the scariest one. And honestly, I'm surprised it took this long in reality.
We knew this could come. We knew this was a potential to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, we knew it was potential, but it's finally a Texas man is suing three women who allegedly helped his ex-wife get abortion pills. So this comes from Galveston, Texas, where a man is suing three of his ex-wife's friends who helped her, allegedly, end her pregnancy. And this is the first of its kind since the Supreme Court overturned Roe last summer. So it's actually even more chilling than it initially sounds because of the legal argument this guy is trying to make. So Texas has a total abortion ban. And it also has its aiding and abetting law enforced by private lawsuits. But then the man in this case is suing under the state's wrongful death statute. And so the lawsuit claims that assisting with a self-managed abortion qualifies as murder under state law, which allows a man to file a wrongful death claim. But Texas law exempts pregnant people from prosecution, and his ex-wife is not named as a defendant, just her three friends. So it's terrifying because the three friends are obviously in the situation where they were trying to help their friend. And the timing of it is also, let's say, interesting. So his ex-wife, they were separated. She filed for divorce in May of 2022.
Okay.
So
about a year ago. Not quite.
About a year ago, before Roe was officially overturned. But then she realized she was pregnant by him, July of 2022. So post-Roe. Their divorce was finally finalized last month. And now he is filing this lawsuit. So he claims in the civil lawsuit that his then wife learned she was pregnant with his child in July 2022 after the state's total ban took effect. And basically he has not screenshots of text messages, but pictures of a phone with the screen with the text messages on it.
So he took pictures of her phone with these messages on it. He claims that this is her phone.
Yes. And so since this is not a criminal case, so there was no search warrant involved. It's just, and there's like thumbs in the picture. And so that makes me sound like he somehow, because they already have two kids. And so they're sure they're co-parenting. There's probably still, their divorce just was finalized. And so if somehow he got into her phone and took pictures of those screenshots, and in the articles I read, it did not say if the picture was of her phone or not. But it's just another, I mean, he's basically suing for $1 million in damages. His lawyer is Jonathan Mitchell, who was the architect of SB 8, which was the bounty hunter law that allows anyone to sue someone who aids or abets an abortion. And, you know, Mitchell's not suing under his own law, but he's instead taking a more aggressive stance to claim that the women participated in murder. And this is just really scary that this could be the situation, because basically it sounds like in the text messages, they were talking about Aid Access, which is an international organization that will send, that can mail you abortion pills. But it sounds like, at least according to the screenshots, that they were able to, one of the women who lives in Houston was able to get a hold of pills. But I mean, talk about, I don't know.
Well,
this is terrifying to me.
Well, and think about it. And I'm not sure that this is the case in Texas, but there are some other states that I believe a rapist or members of the rapist's family could sue or go after the woman who got rid of the rapist's baby. So we are now giving rapists and their family members more rights than the woman who was raped.
Yes, and who would have to carry the pregnancy.
Right. Of her rapist.
And on top of this, also in Texas, Texas lawmakers recently introduced a bill that would censor abortion pill websites like Aid Access. So basically, you'd have to have some kind of, I'm assuming, some kind of VPN. But if you had any kind of IP address that was originating from Texas, you couldn't get to those websites.
How does that not violate freedom of speech?
Well, think about the Louisiana law where you have to put your ID in now to watch porn. I mean, obviously, I don't know if that one's been, if there's an ACLU lawsuit for that one, but it seems like it would be under the same kind of rules. So, and just last week, South Carolina police arrested a woman who had allegedly self-managed an abortion in October 2021. So that's where we are as a country right now. But when we come back, our second out of three infuriating stories. One thing Lauren Boebert and I have in common, we're both 36. We're at very different stages of our maternal life, though. We will say that. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
What do you mean he went searching for fresher powder? We have full classes today.
Instructor down at Vesper Ski School.
Toward each other to snowplow, honey, not a way.
She needs more ski instructors to slalom through the day-to-day.
Pizza? Fries? Whoa, Braylee, no, pizza, pizza!
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
snuggle up with a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting for you. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Current Technologies Incorporated and the Southwood County Humane Society. When the power goes out, contact Current Technologies Incorporated, your local Platinum Kohler generator dealer. Don't be left in the dark. Call 715-887-4444 to get more information about Kohler Standby Generator today.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett septic pumper trucks come rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The hour on the hour.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matt-Nair. And we are doing our Monday TikTok tee off because I think a lot of this broke on Friday. But we were snowed out.
Yes. And you were in the dark.
I was in the dark. I had no power, a dead computer, and no internet. And streets were not plowed, so I couldn't really even go anywhere to get internet. And you didn't have internet either, right, on Friday?
My internet has been popping in and out. It's been challenging.
It's been challenging. Yes. So we are playing a little bit of catch-up since we had to do a rerun on Friday. But our second story, you know, Lauren Boebert and I, the probably the only thing we have in common is we were both 36 years old.
Right.
And, you know, politically, we are very different. I would say our values are very different in a lot of ways.
You finished high school?
I finished high school. I also had my GED, to be fair, because I had my GED because I was acting, but I also, on top of that, did finish high school.
Okay.
But we are indeed the same age. But one major difference, I would say, is that at 36, I am currently trying to have my first kid versus Bobo is going to be, at 36, a grandmother. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, on its face, she was a teenager when she had a kid. Now her first kid, who is still a teenager, is going to have a kid. And this happens, and I am not trying to pass judgment, that you can't still have a successful life. Your kids can be successful. It's not average, I would say. I think you potentially set yourself up for a lot more hardship. With teenage pregnancy, but I'm not trying. That is not the point that I'm trying to make as far as this story specifically. It's the fact that she was walking around on the CPAC stage, bragging about it, like it's such a good thing because it is proof that rural kids are more pro-life than urban kids, while simultaneously at the same conference talking about how she wants a ban on comprehensive sex ed in public schools. That is the part where I'm kind of like, wow, really? So what am I talking about? At CPAC last week, Boebert was awarded the Mothers of Influence Award at the conference, at the CPAC Women's Breakfast. And in her acceptance speech, she shared the news that her 17-year-old son, Tyler, had gotten his girlfriend pregnant, and that they're having a boy. And I've read different reports that say that the girl involved is 15.
Great.
So let's just play Let's play part of her speech.
I'm a mom of four boys, and I've said many times, Jason and I, we are raising our four boys to be men before liberals teach them to be women. But I leaned over and I asked my husband if it was appropriate to announce this here today. So I'm going to tell you all for the first time in a public setting that not only am I a mom of four boys, but come April, I will be a Gigi to a brand new grandson. And Jason and I are so excited to welcome this new life into our family. Now, any of you who have young children who are giving life, there are some questions that pop up. There's some fear that arises. Now, my son, when I approached him and told him, Tyler, I'm going to be a 36-year-old grandmother, he said, well, didn't you make granny a 36-year-old granny? I said, yes, I did. He said, well, then it's hereditary. Nice try, buddy.
Runs in the family. It's just all
runs in the family. And she goes on saying, quote, one of our biggest fears was not, what are you going to do? What are people going to say? Our biggest fear is, are they going to choose life? And they did. We are so proud of them for making that sacrifice and being selfless in that position to say there's something greater here. So we're working together with them to make sure that they are amazing parents, that they have the love and support that they need. And you know, there's something special about rural conservative communities. They value life. If you look at teen pregnancy rates throughout the nation, well, they're the same in rural and urban areas. However, abortion rates are higher in urban areas and teen mom rates are higher in rural conservative areas because we understand the preciousness of the life that is about to be born. And I just want to say, or maybe rural teens are pressured by conservative parents to not have abortions, or maybe there's worse access to abortion care in rural areas, as we know to be true in Wisconsin, that even before Roe fell, there was only three cities in the state you could get one. And that was all in either Madison, Milwaukee, or Sheboygan. And so if you were up north, it's a lot harder. And this is not, like, on the one hand, it's being supportive of your kid if they make this choice. I don't have any judgment there, but it is this, you know, correlation versus causation of rural kids are different and we're supporting this. And also, if you're not supporting... If you're pushing that the fact that the most important thing you can do in life is have a kid, it becomes a lot easier to make that choice versus the future sacrifices you're making for your future career, future education, everything. And so
I just find
Gigi at 36.
Yeah, Gigi at 36. I just find it interesting that she points to her family is the role model for what men should be, because let's not forget her husband was charged with exposing himself to minor girls.
And served time and got 2 years of probation.
But they're real men.
Real men. So, sincerest apologies to the young girl who is now going to be tied to this woman for the rest of her life. Because that, I would not wish that upon anyone. All right, when we come back, last story, Tennessee Lieutenant Governor. Get off Instagram, man.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Weight restrictions on state highways will begin Monday in the North Central region. The Wisconsin DOT places seasonal weight restrictions on specific highways during the spring thaw periods to prevent damage to the pavement structure. Beginning at noon on Monday, March 13th, Wood County will see restrictions on the following roads, Wisconsin 54 and Wisconsin 173. Weight limits are 6 tons gross load for single-axle vehicles and 10 tons gross load for tandem-axle vehicles. The maximum gross weight is 24 tons.
Visit the DOT website for complete information on weight-restricted roads. Wisconsin's latest winter storm has downed tree limbs and forced power company crews out to deal with outages scattered around the state. If you see downed power lines, stay away and contact your local utility. If you're supposed to be flying today, contact your airline, not the airport, to see if things are running on time. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Ree.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit AARP.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of flurries this afternoon, otherwise overcast. High of 29, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 3 above, tonight mainly clear. Mainly clear skies again, tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 32. Much warmer Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-40s. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 24.
TikTok, and I found that original song and thought it was appropriate for this next topic. Not so much that what happened and conspired in this video is as illegal as the sex offenders that she was pointing out that were, you know, Christian pastors and a lot of the people who when we say the call is coming from inside the house, are people who are railing against LGBTQ people and rights, but then also actually child sex offenders. This situation is not as dire as that, but the hypocrisy is still
pretty glaring.
Pretty glaring. And I'm also trying to imagine, because if the roles were reversed and he, so let's just, all right, back up. Let's explain what happened. So again, this broke on Friday?
I think it was Friday.
Friday was a busy day, man. So this comes from Nashville and Tennessee, where Republican Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, under his own Instagram.
Under his own name.
Under his own name. Not only his own name, but his under Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally has left over 80 comments for on a gay man's Instagram, like, thirst trap profile, where he posts a lot of almost naked photos. And the Lieutenant Governor is very supportive.
Encouraging. He's very encouraging.
So he has left numerous comments. The gentleman's name is Franklin McClure, with phrases such as love it and heart and flame emojis. And one comment reads, Finn, you can turn a rainy day into rainbows and sunshine.
Now, again, keep in mind that these are on almost nude pictures of this young man.
And he's 79. So, I mean, even if this was flipped, so let's take the fact that it's a young gay man out of it. Let's say it's a young woman who is, because there's thirst traps of all flavors, straight men, gay women, straight women, and the whole range of identities and gender or identities and sexual orientations. People love to post things of them looking sexy and then to elicit comments and likes. So even leaving these comments for a young woman, it still would have been inappropriate and weird. Like, either way, it's just under you are an elected official, and under your Instagram, not your personal Instagram, your Instagram with your title, your elected title in it, making these kind of comments is weird and inappropriate. And also, you'd step in it. But the thing here is that McNally also, I mean, I guess, I don't know how, I don't think this could happen in Wisconsin, because not only is he the lieutenant governor, he's also a state senator.
What?
So I don't know how you can have both in Tennessee, but, or maybe he was a state senator. Am I reading that wrong? Yeah, no. McNally, who is also a member of the state Senate and serves as its head, because he has spent his career, and he's served in the Tennessee legislature since 1978, voting against LGBTQ bills. So there's the hypocrisy. That clearly this guy has feelings or support for pictures of almost naked men. And yet, when it's come to a variety of bills, not only of the recent ones with the anti-trans bills, but also the drag shows, he has been voting against them, let's say. And he, 2 years in a row, he voted to limit sports participation on the basis of sex assigned at birth. He voted for another bill that allows individuals to refuse to share bathrooms and locker rooms with transgender people. And yet he also has, like, gone on record saying, I'm not against the LGBTQ community. So the whole thing's very confusing. And I guess it goes back, like, does this matter? Like, to Tennessee voters, are they so homophobic that they will hold this against him?
But he did come back with his apology, such as it was.
He did, and
just kind of said, "Well, I like to support all Tennesseans."
I know.
And we've talked about this before. I don't think there's any shame left on that side of the aisle. It's impossible to shame them. even when confronted with their own blatant hypocrisy.
But I think what I'm wondering is, like, for people who voted for him, because there is clearly homophobia that is driving both the bills and the people who are showing up at school board meetings and very concerned about all this. And so if you hear of this, wouldn't you call for his removal?
But as long as he's voting against the people that you hate, then that's okay. And
but
I think,
doesn't this qualify him as someone that you would hate?
Well, but he's doing what I want. He's enforcing the laws that I want against the people that I hate. And if he'd only just keep it to himself, Kristen, then no one would care.
Is that the thing? Is it basically like if people just stayed like the whole thing? And I remember this when I was probably a teenager. So in the very fast rise of LGBTQ rights. Basically happened, I would say, between me being in high school and graduating college. Maybe, like, no, 2015. So I would say, like, within, like, from, like, 2005 to 2015. So, yeah, like, 10 years. And is this backlash basically, like, just stay closeted? Like, it's fine if you are. We just don't want to see it.
And it's fine as if you are, as long as you do what we want you to do against you. Yeah, stay in the closet. Don't make me see
it. Stay in the closet.
Stay in the closet. Don't make me see it. It's very upsetting.
And so it's, yeah, because I actually saw something over the weekend of, is it like, especially people who are loud and flamboyant, because I also think about this with like loud women. Right. And this deep-seated envy or resentment towards people who can just be free and live their life as themselves. And for other people who are maybe closeted or people who are scared to actually live their truth, they hate it so much when it's in their face that other people can live more freely
than they can.
And so they just have to do everything to make it smaller, put it away, shut it down. And obviously loud women, I'm not going to make the argument that they're as persecuted as trans and drag and everything right now. But at one point they were, right? Of just shut up, be quiet, be smaller.
Absolutely. And there are a whole bunch of people, I believe, who would love to see women back to, again, we're going back to the good old days. Not the 1950s, we're going back to the 1850s, Kristen, when women had no options. You got married, you stayed home, you had children, that's what you did. The good old days.
Which is also funny because I feel like 1850s isn't even, I don't even know if that was like the sweet spot, depending on what class you were in. Because certainly women who were working on farms and pioneer women, like they were not helpful and doing stuff. And like their work was not valued as far as actually running the household. I feel like there's a different periods in time or different like classes where you were just seen and not heard. But I think about like 1850s, like rural Wisconsin, like women were working on the, like on the land.
No doubt.
But
they knew their place.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, it's because again, this is not, I mean, if anything, it's, I think we can poke fun of it because it's not, a child was not harmed in this. Unlike so many other cases we end up seeing where, trusted people who work with youth take advantage of that trust. This is someone who just probably doesn't know how Instagram works and that people can see his comments. So speaking of that, as far as being able to make fun of some things and knowing when to make a joke, SNL did take the opportunity to poke fun at the the lieutenant governor. So let's play some of that.
This week, Tennessee Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally was caught using his verified Instagram account to engage with provocative photos of a young gay man. Here to comment is Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally.
Printing out MapQuest directions.
Oh my God, MapQuest?
Yes, I don't know if you noticed, but I am not good at the internet.
Yeah, right. So Randy, you're a married man who supports Tennessee's anti-drag laws. Can you explain why you commented on a thirst trap saying you can turn a rainy day into rainbows and sunshine?
Well, I didn't think people would find out because I used a screen name.
Oh, what is the screen name?
Lieutenant Governor McNally.
Randy, you see how this could be a problem. And also, I want to point out you commented three hearts and three fire emojis on this naked photo of the same young gay man.
Well, Colin, I don't discriminate. I comment on photos of all their orientations. Orientations like from the side, from the front, from the back. There does not have to be a butt, but it helps. Whatever the photo, it's my job to encourage my constituents.
Right. No, I think there's just maybe some confusion about your beliefs.
Colin, I stand by my traditional values. I believe a woman should be in the home and a man should be 143 pounds of dancing to Dua Lipa.
Dancing to Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa. And so again, it's embarrassing, I guess, for him and his family. And he did it. That was what he basically apologized for. He said, I'm really, really sorry if I've embarrassed my family, embarrassed my friends, embarrassed any members of the legislature with my posts. And so, again, I mean, really, he didn't do anything wrong. Is it inappropriate? Yeah. Is it weird? Yes. Is it embarrassing? Yes. But also, is it like a huge sign of hypocrisy?
Absolutely.
This guy is clearly closeted. He's like clearly a 79-year-old closeted man, like Southern man who's never, and I'm not saying he's gay, but if he's bi, he's somewhere on the spectrum, that like this is part of the damage, right? Part of the damage of closeting people is it doesn't just go away.
Well, look at Matt Schlapp.
Who's Matt Schlapp?
Matt Schlapp, who runs CPAC, who one of Herschel Walker's staffers accused him of grabbing him after a campaign event.
Oh, I miss all
of that. Oh, and this is now, oh, yes. And that's one of the reasons why they think that some of the attendance at CPAC may have been down this year.
Was because of that guy?
Yeah, it was because of this accusation against Matt Schlapp.
So maybe sometimes there is ramifications.
Well, again, we'll see. Just keep legislating against the people that I hate. Joseph McClear commenting on our...
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are going to move on to, I guess, happier news. But yeah, just those three stories as far as...
Doozies.
I think they all dropped Friday, too. Just, you know, they say Friday's a slow news day. Apparently not.
Well, not when you want to bury things. That's always a good day.
Yeah, that's a good point. So this could be interesting news for a state such as ours that likes to imbibe and really likes to drink. And also, I just wanted to talk about it because the idea of drunk mice is a hilarious image. So researchers at UT Southwestern may have found a way to sober you up fast. And they, at the very least, they figured out a way to do it with mice that might be slugging IPAs while living in your walls, which obviously, I wonder if, like, if you had a mouse in your house and you spilled some kind of booze somewhere, do you think that they would, like, naturally be drawn to drink it? To lap it up?
I have no idea. I mean, certainly they need moisture.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that, what their sense of smell is like.
I know. And so I'm just curious to do this test. Like, how much alcohol does it take to get a mouse drunk?
Well, you
can't think it's a lot.
I wouldn't imagine so. A couple drops would do you, right?
Yeah. So basically in the study, they found that injecting the liver produced hormone FGF21 into mice that were passed out from booze. So this is what I'm saying. They got mice drunk for this study. And I'm so curious of what a drunk mouse looks like.
He's sleeping.
He's sleeping. Does he sleep with his little tongue out though? Does he sleep on his back? Does he snore? Does he throw up? Like, I'm so curious. But basically, when they injected this hormone into a mouse who was passed out, it brought him back to consciousness in half the time it otherwise takes to sleep it off.
Is this good?
Well, what's why it could be good is the research could lead to life-saving treatments for alcohol poisoning.
Oh. So this isn't just something that you would get to use on a Saturday morning after going out on a Friday night regularly.
No, it sounds like it's something that could be used at like hospitals.
Okay.
For people who could die from alcohol
poisoning,
like drinking too much alcohol.
Wow.
And so it's actually like, yeah, so it's basically it reverses the effects of intoxication and it speeds up recovery from alcohol poisoning in mice. And on the longer article says it has potential to save countless lives. And that's why I say, like, I'm kind of joking around because it's drunk mice, but, you know, I don't know what the death count is as far as, I mean, it's certainly not like drug overdoses, but
it
imagine in Wisconsin that it's, we don't have a higher rate than other places. And especially when you think about kids who don't know how to moderate their drinking yet, yep. And they drink way too much too fast. It's science is so crazy of just the things that they come up with. They're like, let's think about this problem and then go find something that could solve it. Right. And the hormone that you naturally produce that I guess it makes sense because it's usually your liver processing alcohol anyways is how you eventually sober up.
Right.
Not coffee, not a cold shower.
Not greasy food.
Not greasy food. And so, yeah, but that's why it's, I don't think this is something that you can just like get over the counter. It's not like the, have you ever done one of those IVs? Like, you know, they mostly have them in Vegas, but it's basically you can go, there's a spot in Vegas where you can go for your hangover and get like hooked up with an IV to start feeling better because it like rehydrates you, and they have like a B12 infusion and stuff. It costs like $100, so it's not cheap, but it's pretty popular because supposedly you feel a lot better afterwards. So it's not quite, I think this is a little bit more serious than just a bad hangover.
Yeah, and I don't know about that whole Vegas thing. I'm a little twitchy about letting those people stick something in a vein. That makes me.
I think they're nurses.
Maybe.
I think they're registered nurses.
Okay.
I guess it'd be interesting to they would have to be, right? As far as just letting anyone stick a needle in you. But like that's part of the terms of agreement in terms of service.
I practiced on an orange 3 times. It's gonna be fine. You're not gonna feel a thing.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I also want to see what a drunk mouse looks like. Well, has any of your dogs over time ever gotten into anything that you're like, oh, well, they're.
No, fortunately. And I do have a friend who lost their lab puppy who got into some seeds that he was going to plant.
And what kind of seeds?
I don't remember. This is going back quite a few years, but the puppy got into some seeds and they expanded in his stomach and it killed him. You have to be, you got to be careful with puppies and children because they'll stick anything in their mouths.
Who was I talking to? Someone, I was talking to a friend recently. Oh yeah. Who their dog will literally eat anything. And they ate an entire corn cob.
The cob?
The cob, which a dog cannot pass a cob. And will not digest a cob.
Oh.
So they had to get surgery on their dog. And she was telling me how her husband, who was also a good friend of mine, is like, we're never doing this again. Like, if he eats another one, he had a good run.
Well, that must have been thousands and thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
We love our pets. So. We love our animals.
We do. All right. When we come back, we will be talking to Eileen Newcomer, who is the voter information manager at the League of Women Voters. We're going to be talking about how they're getting around the fact that more and more Republicans do not want to go to their forums. And so how are they getting around that and still providing good, solid, accurate information about candidates to voters, both in nonpartisan and partisan races? And we'll talk about what else you need to know, because we are 3 weeks and 1 day away from April 4th and the spring election. I think early voting starts March 21st, so we're about a week away from that, but it's going to come fast. But then, and then after that, then Bri will be here, my brother, to explain to us what happened with Silicon Valley Bank. What do we need to know? Does it actually affect us? And then for now, we're going to go to the top of the hour news. Stick around, stay here. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Teams are torn this boy apart like a neon dream. It just don't know me. The bars in this guitar and long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart. No, it never broke my heart.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC,
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle.